The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
The story is told of Asa. He's the son of Abijah, king of Judah. And he ruled over the land, and the land was in peace for 10 years. He was one who actually did what was pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. He removed the pagan altars and urged people to follow hard after the Lord and to do what the Lord commands. And he spent the time in peace, actually fortifying the towns in Judah. He also spent the time building a grand army, an army of 300,000 men with spears and large shields. And he also had an army of 280,000 men with small shields and bows from the tribe of Benjamin. The Bible said that they were all well-trained fighting men. And this is what he did during the time of peace. During this time of peace, building, fortifying, making themselves strong. But one day, there was an Ethiopian named Zerah that attacked Judah. And he attacked Judah with 1 million men, 300 chariots. So let me say that again. 1 million men, 300 chariots. And these chariots were horrible because they could just run over people and kill them. Now, even with all the time they spent fortifying the cities, even all the time, the 10 years of peace that they had to make their army strong, building a grand army, they were still overmatched. Asa saw that they were still powerless against this army. But Asa went to the Lord. And the Word of God says this in 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11. Then Asa cried out to the Lord his God, O Lord, no one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we trust in you alone. It is in your name that we have come against this vast horde. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere men prevail against you. All of that. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes like when I'm having a difficult time going to sleep, you know, I always put the scripture, you know, that the narrating the scripture, and you put it to the side. I listen to the scriptures while I fall asleep. They got one that's narrated by James Earl Jones now, you know, so it's like Darth Vader reading you a bedtime story. I love it. Life is good for me now. And I heard this, and it really impacted me. That verse, during this time of confusion, with all the things that's happening, everything feels like there's so much unrest, and we're so concerned about people, what people are going to do, what's going to happen to us, all of these types of things. And I just heard that passage of scripture and that prayer. Oh Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere men prevail against you. Because compared to God, family, we're mere men. That's all there is. Mere men. So, the Bible says, the Lord defeated the Ethiopians. See, today, family, there's a lot happening. A lot happening to us on a day-to-day basis. What is it that keeps us and causes us to fail to do what it is that we're supposed to do? Do we find that sometimes the laws of God, the commands of God, are just getting in the way of the fun that we want to have? Yeah, I'm just wanting to have some fun, but God is just getting in the way. We find today that we become more and more addicted to things that do not glorify God. We find that we enjoy life in the world sometimes more than we enjoy life with the Lord. And when we realize that we don't want to do this, we find that this battle that we have with the world, it is a fight, and a fight that we fight daily, and we fight on a constant basis. So the question is, our purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy Him. The question is, do we? Are we? Because the battle is grand. It's real. It is the seduction and the attraction of the world that causes us to do what we should not be doing, thinking what we should not be thinking, watching what we should not be watching, but think that we're okay when we're not, listening to what we know we should not be listening to, and think that we are okay when we're not. How many of us are losing these battles today? We have a battle with this world. And lots of things, in many ways, comes against us. And for many of us, we feel powerless to get away from it. Just difficult to get away from it. We find ourselves addicted to things in life that we just can't break away from. Some of us today, addicted to mind-altering chemicals, addicted to merchandising, addicted to our jobs, addicted to relationships, addicted to video games, addicted to social media, and addicted to whatever fill in the blank. Our culture is a culture right now where people are slave and constantly use the words addicted. I cannot stop. I can't keep myself from this. I can't get away from this. Now again, some of these things that I said, they're not bad in and of themselves, okay? But if they keep us from bringing glory to the Lord, it keeps us from enjoying Him and enjoying His Word, then we've got a situation. Seriously. A serious situation. And what is it in the world that is causing us to disobey God and not enjoy and be content with what He has given us today? Where is our trust today? Now, I know I'm not going to make it out here if I don't say at least a little something about the election that we, or whatever, that we had or that we are having, depending on who you're asking these days, right? We just had a very intense time. A heated election year, lots going on, lots still going on. But this is the thing I want us to understand. When it comes to things like politics, politics are like other things, along with behavior sciences like psychology. They are very revealing and very descriptive in showing what it is that's really deep down inside of us. People say, oh, see, Shane, politics is the problem. And I say, no. Politics is not the problem. Politics is like psychology. It shows you where the problem is. Well, think about that. All right? This is huge. I've been talking to people about this. Politics is not the problem. Politics, it becomes a problem because it shows and reveals the real problem. Shows us where the problem really is. Because these types of things display what's really in our hearts. What's in our hearts today? These things display what's in our heart. They draw things out that's really in our hearts. We can go through life and just hide with all this stuff in our hearts and never actually see what's really deep down inside of us. But then psychology or things, psychological things or philosophical things or political things will come out, and all of a sudden we just can't help it. But the heart opens up and we can all see what's really deep down inside. How many of God's commands and principles are we going to break or even have broken due to the results of what we have seen this past week? Man, seeing all kinds of reactions. You know, all you got to do is just take a moment on social media and check to see what your friends are saying and what your friends are posting. And I'm seeing all kinds of reactions from the people who are professing to be Christians are gloating. They're ridiculing people. They're calling people names. And some people are actually even falling into despair. They're wanting to jump off of a building. These are people who are professing to be Christians, displaying a lot of anger and a lot of despondency. Well, where is all of this stuff coming from? The things that I'm seeing. And on both sides. I mean, some of the things that I've heard people who profess to be Christians, who told me that they're actually going to be in church this Sunday praying for our country and all of these types of things. One of them says, hey man, he just really can't stand our current president. And now he's a professing Christian and he just absolutely despises everybody in Florida. And he actually posted online saying that there's a hurricane coming for Florida. And I'm going to sleep well tonight. I'm hoping that he's joking. I really am hoping that he's joking. And it's not just that side. It's the other side. Oh, that's fine. It doesn't matter whoever happens. It doesn't matter if he wins. All I know is that our side bought all the ammo. Family, these are professing Christians. This is what I mean by how these kinds of things are drawing out what's really inside. What is this thing? What is all this stuff revealing about what's in our hearts? Because family, let me say this. Evil, the evil that we find in this world is not because of a political party. It's because men love the darkness instead of the light. That's why. We have a battle before us. And this is a battle that we can win. Let me say it again. Professing Christian today. This is a battle that we're supposed to be winning. Supposed to be winning. Asa went to the Lord. Asa's situation, he could only go to the Lord. Asa trusted the Lord. And when we are face to face with an unbeatable enemy like the world, we can also trust the Lord. And when we do, he will be glorified. And isn't that what we're looking for? Remember how I said I kind of changed some of the conversations? Shane, man, a lot's happening today. I'm asking you, man, are we going to be okay? I'm not even entertaining that anymore. I'm saying, you know what? God is going to be glorified. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 to 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 to 5. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. And God, I pray that you continue to help us during this time to see the truth and to rest in your truth. And Father, that we will trust you and trust you alone, just like Asa did. And Father, we pray your will be done and we pray that you will be glorified. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So family, the first thing we're going to look at today is we're going to explore this enemy that we have. John is referring to it as the world. We're going to see what it is and why it's evil. And the second and the last thing we're going to look at is the one thing that we need to overcome and defeat this world. One thing. Faith. Amazing. Faith. So our thesis statement for the day is this. Though sin and the pattern of this world exerts its power over us to despair, it is the power of the Spirit and the truth of Scripture that will cause us in faith to overcome and to always overcome the evil world by those who believe. So point number one, the evil world, everything and anything that keeps us from glorifying and enjoying the Lord. So who is it that we are in conflict with? John here is calling it the world. We're fighting. There is a battle. Who's the enemy? John is saying the enemy is the world. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he writes, "You cannot read the New Testament truly without seeing the whole of the Christian life as a life of conflict. We are in an atmosphere and in a world where there is a great fight going on." Now, there's so many different ways I kind of wanted to take this. I did want to spend some time as to making sure that we knew that there is a fight that's going on in the world. Because sometimes I kind of wonder if you know, we've lost the inside of you. There's the white wolf, or what is it, the white wolf and the black wolf, or the black dog and a white dog that's at war with each other, you know, that kind of stuff. Have we missed that truth? And I'm assuming that we haven't missed that truth. So we are going to continue to go. The world is against the Lord, and the Lord is against the world. There is a fight that's going on. There is a real conflict that we have with the world. James chapter 4, verse 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Man, family, this is huge for us today. This is a huge message for us today. Friendship with the world. With a scripture so clear and a scripture so serious, I think it makes us sure, and I gotta make sure that we have an understanding about what it means when we say the word world. Some of you might be thinking, how can God be against the world when he loved it so much and sent his son to die for it, right? So some of you might have thought that. Yes, so you see that the world is actually being used in a different sense. So what does John mean when he talks about the world? Robert Candlish, for years I've had a hard time saying it. He says this, what is the world? It is whatever system or way of life, whatever society or companionship of men tends to make us feel God's commandments or any of them to be grievous. We are called to be people or even creatures who are to worship and to glorify God. We are to rest in him and to enjoy him and to enjoy his words. I love the way the Westminster Confession, Shorter Catechism, begins with a question. The question is, what is the chief end of man? The answer is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So ultimately, what is the world? The world is everything and anything, and I mean everything and anything that keeps us from doing that. The world is anything that keeps us from glorifying God and enjoying him. Anything, everything in this world that does that. See, sadly, I think, and I'm going to flesh this out even more, but sadly, I think that the only thing that many of us sometimes, when we hear things like the world, we think of, well, it's all the fun and entertaining stuff, right? All the stuff that you go out, you get in trouble with, you know, all these types of things in the world. All of these things are the thing, the entertaining stuff, the political stuff, the recreational stuff, the media stuff. You know, we think that just because we don't watch R-rated movies anymore, or we don't listen to secular music, or we don't smoke weed anymore, that we've defeated the world. I don't have to worry about the world. I've conquered the world. Yeah, I don't watch movies. You know, I don't do any of those types of things. I'm not into all the drugs. I'm not into, I don't go clubbing at night anymore. You know, I mean, I can't really go clubbing at night anymore, but you know, I can't do all of those things anymore. I just did, you know, all this stuff. There's none. I don't do this. So when we hear, sometimes we hear things like, oh, you need to make sure you overcome the world and don't be worldly in your life. We think it's just that. Just stay away from all of that stuff. Hear me when I say this, family. This is very, very important that we get this. You could be just as much ruled by the world sitting in the house of God as you can sitting in the bar at a nightclub. Oh, there's a little reaction, but not as much as I thought I was going to get with that. Just as much slave to the world sitting in church on Sunday. Because family, again, this is anything, anything and everything that keeps us from glorifying God and enjoying Him. But before we get to some of the particulars, we got to know this enemy. And we've got to understand that we cannot underestimate this enemy. I think that's one of the problems we have in the church today, is we underestimate just how strong and how witty and how crafty the world is. Did you know? I'm wondering if you knew this. When the Civil War broke out in 1861, Lincoln's Secretary of State, William Seward, predicted the war would be over in 90 days. He predicted that the war would be over in 90 days. And young men by the thousands came forward to volunteer to go out and to whip the South. We're going to take care of these guys. 4 long years later, 500,000 lives had been lost. And what they say is it's because the North underestimated the strength of the South. I bring this illustration up because I want to say this. Christians, we should never underestimate the power of the world. Please don't underestimate the power of the world. And I think that a lot of the problems I feel like that we have in the church today is simply because of that. We are underestimating the power of the world. The world, I mean, I don't want us to overestimate the power of the world, you know, because God is God. And there's nothing in the world that's going to overthrow our Lord. But I don't want us to think that this is just some, you know, play toy that we're messing with here. Because the world is a crafty one. It really is. The world is a strong one. It is a deceiving one. It is super attractive and it is super seductive and it's super destructive. And this is the thing sometimes. Sometimes it's like one of those things where you will talk with individuals or even in praying and talking with yourself, you find out things like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that the world has gotten a hold of me here. The world is beating us and we don't even know it. The world's got a hold of us and we don't even know it. The world is a crafty one. It is like the 1 million soldiers that Asa had to face. I see this constantly. Many are trying to find their hope and to find their significance in many things other than God. This is what the world offers. We're going to offer you this. This is what we're offering you. We're offering you temporary bliss. Now we in the world know that this bliss is just temporary. But we're so desperate for the bliss that we'll take temporary. If that's all you got to offer, I'll take it. If you're giving me a moment of bliss, I'll take it. This is what the world offers. Things, because just think about the logic sometimes when we're talking, when I'm counseling individuals and we're talking about, you know, drugs and we're talking about social media and we're talking about all these things that people are addicted to today. It's just funny because it's like, you know, that the bliss is only temporary. So we think, oh, well, it's only temporary bliss. It's only going to make you feel good, you know, for a short amount of time, but the rest of the time your life is going to be miserable. Do you realize how seductive the world is and how bad off we are sometimes when we just can't handle things that are happening in life because of false beliefs and all of these types of things? We'll take that temporary relief because it's better than nothing. So this is the fight and this is the battle that I have to have. So the world offers temporary bliss with things like drugs and alcohol and even things like merchandise and sensual or even non-sensual experiences. A lot of people in our culture, we're addicted to experiences. You know, it's not even things, it's just experiences. I just want to do this. I want to do that. I want to have that experience. And because it does, we tend to put our trust in these things instead of the Lord. And this continues to keep people from glorifying Him to do what it is that we're supposed to do. Come on, let's be honest. How many times in life has the world come and offered you something and we took it? You know, I know some people may be thinking, yeah, you know what? When I was younger, I did it a lot. We're still doing it when we're older. The world is offering things and we're just, oh, you know, we're just so distracted. We're so attracted to shiny objects is what we like to say, right? You see it. You're just, what the world is driving by with. It's just like, you know, I don't even know what that is, but people are looking at it. I got to check it out. We're just addicted to these types of things. We're just not addicted, but attracted to these types of things. And then we grab a hold of it. We start to consume ourselves with it. And then we become addicted to it. Family, our young people, yes, I'm not discounting that. Our young people, yes, are seduced by this power on a daily basis. Actually, not on a daily basis. I want to rephrase that. They're seduced by this on a minute-by-minute basis. Addicted to the social media thing. Addicted to the electronics. How many of you guys, since the sermon started, already looked and checked your phone? How many of you guys got a notification from your phone? The world is trying to get us to put our hope in other things. Put our hope in people. Put our hope in celebrities, in the wealthy, in politicians, in systems of the world, of worldly human ingenuity, in atheistic philosophical ideologies, in the reenactment of actual failed systems. They're wanting us to put our hope in the entertainment industry that's trying to keep us so entertained that we can escape and we don't have to deal with real life issues in life, in social media, who, by the way, is being shown by many in the actual industry and showing that they actually want to gain control over our lives. And many have already told me how incredibly addicting it is. And they cannot shut their phone off. I mean, individual I was talking to. I forget what it was that he was doing, but somehow his phone got flushed down the toilet. I keep thinking, somehow, how did that happen? Got flushed down the toilet. And he says that, oh, you know, it's going to be the weekend, and they said they can't actually ship out a new phone to me till Monday. This is Friday. It wasn't even Saturday. I mean, Friday, it happened Friday during the day, sometime in the afternoon. It didn't even come to Saturday. Friday night, he called me and said he just couldn't take it anymore. He's just like, I feel like I'm going to die. Feel like I'm going to die. Yeah, just, I know I've got things, and I'm missing all my notifications and all these things that are happening, just going down the list of all of this stuff. It felt like he was going to die. And I just don't think I'm going to make it. You know, do you think I can come to your house and just hold your phone? He didn't actually say that. I just threw that in. It was just really, really bad. And this is the thing I thought was really funny. I said, don't you get those same apps and stuff like that on your computer? He goes, yeah. Then why don't you just use your computer? It's just not the same. I mean, it's you know, even in groups, in Christian groups, I thought this was really interesting. We you know how we do like the church fast? We haven't done it this year because of COVID and all that stuff. Y'all need to be eating and just in case you get it. But we didn't do the all church fast like we do. But back in Hawaii when we did the all church fast, I was surprised at the number of young adults that fasted social media. I said, oh, we're going to fast social media. And it was just kind of like, that doesn't count. You know, it doesn't count. It's like food. For some of these guys, it was like giving up social media was like worse than giving up food. Family, this stuff is happening. Things are changing. There's all kinds of things that happen and distracting us from what's important and also and causing us to be a place where we become addicted and we become slave to it. And we look up and we realize that we can't get out of it and realize that the battle that we should have been fighting, we didn't fight. And instead, we allowed the enemy to take us. And now we are in a prison of war camp and we don't even know it. Interesting, isn't it? Everything and anything that keeps us from glorifying and enjoying Him. This is the battle with the world. And let's not lie to ourselves. This is a powerful enemy. It is not just affecting those in the world. It is starting to affect those in the church today and has been for a while. The world is trying to befriend us so that we trust in it and not in God. But this is giving the world what belongs to the Lord. And when we are caught, we just can't break free. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 16. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 16. Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. Do not love this world or the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and the pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. Family, even the church, we're beginning to fall into these traps that the world has set for us. The world attacks the church. I mean, there's other ways, but I like to kind of categorize this my way. That the world attacks us in two ways. And we've seen this all throughout church history. The world tries to destroy the church either by annihilation or by assimilation. The world wants to destroy the church, make the church go away by either annihilation or assimilation. We've seen the annihilation piece when nations rose up and tried to persecute and tried to kill Christians. They were threatened with death, threatened with suffering, the death of their wives, death of their children, tortured in unspeakable means, loss of positions, loss of possession, prison. Today, it maybe happens with ridicule. People making fun of Christians for what we are and what we believe. In our professional office parties, our universities, in our school, even in our home, we are made out to be stupid and unintellectual. The ridicule comes against Christians. And what happens is it causes some to go into isolation, and then our faith slowly drifts away and we become annihilated. Christians go away because we are annihilated. But more so today, in our culture, the strategy is not annihilation. The strategy is assimilation. The world tries to destroy the church by assimilation, because if the world can make the church just like the world, then we will cease to be the church. You see that? If we can make the church just like the world, then we're no longer the church. When the church starts to look like the world, when the church begins to act like the world, when the church begins to talk like the world talks, when we do what the world does, when we value what the world values, when we trust in what the world trusts, when we hope in what the world hopes in, we know we are starting to slip. And family, it's happening today. Why? Because here's the biggie. And you know I'm telling the truth when I say this. It's because we're starting to believe what the world believes. That's why. I'll never forget a conversation that I had with a lady about, we were talking about the topic of abortion. I want to show you guys something really interesting about this. I think I've told this before, but I'm going to tell it again. I had this conversation about abortion, and she said, and we were talking, and she believed strongly that abortion was wrong, and just really pushed the issue. This is wrong. This is immoral. It's all this. When we're going down the list, and just out of curiosity, for some reason, I was just like, wow, the passion of this woman. I just asked a simple question: why do you believe that abortion is wrong? And quickly, without even a hesitation, she said this: I don't like it. Now, watch, just follow with me. And I heard some of the gasps. I gasped too. But just follow. Watch this. Watch this, how this goes. She didn't like it. I don't like it. That's horrible. It's awful. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't think anybody should have anything to do with it. This is just horrible. I don't like it. And I just said, huh, interesting. So then I asked the question. No scripture? No biblical reason as to why you believe that this is wrong. I mean, because she was like, you know, you are you saying you disagree with me? I'm like, no. I'm not saying that I disagree with you. I'm just curious. Scripture. Like, do you have a scripture that you base it on? Now watch this. This is huge. This is huge for our culture today. This is huge for our church today. I want you to go out there and I want you to talk to your friends out there. And I want you to say this, because this is really, really important. She couldn't think of one. But she said this. I'm sure the Bible, that I'm sure that it's in there somewhere. Okay. Now, I'm sure many of you have heard this before, but I really need us to see the implications of this. Number one, I don't like it. Number two, is there a scripture? You know what? I can't think of one. She's passionately against it. I can't think of one, but I'm sure it's in there somewhere. Now, everything that she said, it's not wrong, right? I mean, even as Christians, when things go against God's word, I don't like it, right? I don't like it either. Number two, okay, number two, I'm sure it's in there. She's not wrong. It's in there. But this is the thing I think is really interesting. Where did the passion, the motivation, and the starting point come from? The Bible? Her. She says, I don't like it. And she believes it so much so that she believes the Bible agrees with her. I'm sure it's in there somewhere. Now, come on, family. Do we not see this kind of behavior and this kind of logic coming from the church today? We believe certain things. Yes, sure, Shane. I don't know whether that's in the scripture or not. You know, I don't know exactly where it is, but I know that it's in there. Well, how do you know that it's in there? You're saying that you're sure and know that it's in there only because you are, what you're saying when you're saying that is that God agrees with you. So who's the real authority? The scriptures? No. We are. I believe this because I don't like it. Or I like it, so I believe this. So I'll go with it. Well, but do you have scripture for it? No, but I'm sure it's in there somewhere because I know God agrees with me. You know who does this? The world. I don't like that, therefore it's wrong. I like that, therefore it's right. And you know what? So many people in this world agree with me. A lot of people think this way. And you know what? Even God himself does too. If there is a God. And you know what? And if God doesn't think this, I don't want to have anything to do with it. This is how the world thinks, family. This is how the world thinks. We're believing the way the world believes. And we're using the same tools of belief that the world uses. Family, this is in ethics what we call emotivism. Right and wrong is not based on an exterior standard. It's based on what we like and what we don't like. This is how ethics is done in a lot of circles today. I like it, therefore it's right. I don't like it, therefore it's wrong. And we believe this so strongly that we actually believe that the Bible will agree with us. This is how the world thinks. Whatever you think is right, whatever you think is wrong, has to do with what you like and what you don't like. And it's okay for me to think this because there is no such thing as absolute truth. And when we start to do this, family, the world begins to plant its ideologies and our emotions will take over. And not only are we taking this, we start believing this, and when we start believing this, we start acting the way the world acts, assimilated into the world. Assimilated into the world. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Let's look at I like the way the Living Translation says it. Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn and know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. that I believe that these things are right and wrong because God says they are right and wrong. Whether I like it or not, we're standing on it, believing it, because God says that it's right and wrong. That's why. That's our stance. Matthew chapter 5 verse 13. Matthew chapter 5 verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Church, are we losing our saltiness? Okay, Shane. You said, as a Christian, I would overcome the world. Can you tell me how? I absolutely can. I can. Where's Donna? Donna, there's Donna. Okay. Yes, we can because of this thing called faith. Believing. It's amazing, family, what that does. It's amazing, family. Like sometimes, just personally in my life, you know, as I go through things, you know, COVID was really difficult. This whole thing has been really difficult for me. I'm starting to, you know, to really get out of it now. But man, at first I couldn't sleep. I'm tossing and turning all night. You know, I'm like wondering like, hey, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I can't sleep. I need somebody to talk to. I'm wondering, hey, Charlie, he's older. He's probably awake by 3 o'clock. Could I call Charlie? You know? You know, just all kinds of things. I'm panicking, you know, because, you know, there wasn't the COVID epidemic pandemic class in seminary. They didn't teach us how we're supposed to handle these kinds of things, you know. The idea, family, here's the thing. The idea that we actually had to shut church down, that idea was just, I never thought that was possible. I never thought that was possible. You know, but we did it for several weeks. It wasn't just 1 week, several weeks. All this stuff was difficult. And so, family, as I'm going through this, and I'm being transparent here, as I go through these types of things, and I'm struggling, and I'm wrestling with these things, and I'm just like, I don't know about this, and what are we going to do about this, and how are we going to recover from this, and just up all night, just thinking all these things. And it comes to the place where it's just like, Shane, do you not believe that God could get us through this? And it's like, oh, that's right. Lord, I am sorry. Please forgive my unbelief. Please forgive my lack of faith. And it's amazing, family, just the strength and the power we have when we really believe. When you really believe, the world can take nothing from us. The world can do nothing to us. Faith. Amazing. Now, as we start to wind these things down, I want to show you a couple of things. One of the ways we see historically in Christianity of how many Christians fought the battle. They thought we're going to fight the battle by running away from the world, escaping the world, hiding from the world. The technical term for it is monasticism. We'll just cut ourselves off of the world. We'll just not have anything to do with the world. And it was a method of overcoming the world by escaping the world. They remained in caves. Some of them didn't partake in anything that the world had to offer. They abstained from all things. They even flogged themselves. But a couple of problems with abstaining and escaping from the world. This was not a method that many of us could actually do. So let's just say it was a legit method. I can't do it. I know you guys can't do it. We all got jobs and we got bills that we gotta pay. We can't just go hide. Right? I don't know about you guys, but I'm not that good of a fisherman. But here's the second reason. The second reason why this doesn't work. Escaping from the world, why this just all this monasticism, all this kind of asceticism, all this stuff. The reason why these things failed. There's a saying in Hawaii that we always have for us local boys, boys that have been born and raised in Hawaii. The saying goes like this. You can take the boy out of the island, but you can't take the island out of the boy. So Shane, why do you bring that up? Because family, when we try to escape the world, You can take the man out of the world, but you find that there's still plenty of world in us. I can't escape. Even when I go into the cave, there's too much world in me. This is the real difficulty. You know, I remember I'm having a conversation with one guy, and he's like, Shane, I'm really struggling with this whole sin thing, you know, and I feel like I've overcome a lot of it. And then, so there was maybe some prideful talking, or he was saying that he was overcoming the sin thing and he was defeating the world. And there was a lot of prideful talk that was coming from him. And I asked him about that. I'm just like, you say that you have victory, you got victory over these things. And he says, yeah, Shane, I don't own a TV. I don't have a radio. I ain't got a computer. I don't have a smartphone. We don't go to movies. We don't go to sporting events. We don't read the newspaper. I don't hang out with non-believers. I don't even hang out with questionable believers. I don't participate in politics. I don't smoke. I don't chew. I don't dance with girls that do. And I'm sitting there going, wow, impressive. But I said, I get it. I said, good job. But let me ask you something. How are you doing with unforgiveness, hatred, anger, lust, greed, unbelief, rebellion, and all of that stuff that's brewing deep down inside? He said, I gotta admit, Shane, I'm really struggling with all of that. 'Cause here's the thing, family. Cain did not need violent video games, violent movies, or even a violent example to kill his brother. Getting all that stuff away is not the issue. Cain's issue was murder was inside of him. Just like it's inside of us. Family, sin is a reality. Sin is real. And more important to know, sin has eternal consequences. Not only does the world want to deceive us, seduce us, but it also wants to take us with it when it goes down. You ever hear that saying? I say this all the time with an elder and deacon meetings. You know, when I have to make decisions, I'm like, well, Shane, this is a decision you need to make. I'm like, no. You guys are all going to make this decision with me. Because if I go down, you guys are all coming with me. This, you can ask the elders and deacons. I think they remember me saying stuff like this. This is what the world is saying to us. We know we're going down. We know we're going to face the eternal wrath. And you know what? We're going to take as many of you with us as we can. The wages of sin is death. It's eternal darkness, eternal torment, eternal fire. We are talking about hell, and the world wants to take us there. So how do we defeat this enemy and this consequence? Family, it's called faith. Our trust in our Lord Jesus. Our trust in God the way Asa did. We will overcome hell, death, and the grave because salvation comes from the Lord and we trust in the Lord. When it comes to situations like this, all we have is trust in the Lord. I'm talking to Janelle this morning and we're talking about all the things that are happening. And didn't we come to that conclusion? Sometimes all we have is trust in the Lord. And I'm here to say, family, that that's all you need. Trust in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your doing. It is the gift of God. The reality of overcoming the world is that we will be saved by the power of the Spirit, the grace of the Son, and the sacrifice of the King of Kings. We ask the Lord to be saved, and we trust in Him and trust in His Word. Why? Because the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And that's good news, family, because the news gets even better. This is why God sent Christ. Christ, God knew we couldn't fight this enemy. God knew we threw every single stone at every Goliath that we had in our life, and that Goliath is still standing there flexing his muscles. God knew we couldn't defeat hell, death, and the grave. That's why he sent Jesus to die on the cross, to be that sacrifice. God sent Jesus into the world to die, to be a sacrifice, to seek and save that which was lost. Family, Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised on the third day, all according to the scriptures. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Family, salvation is here. Just like God delivered Asa and Judah from the Ethiopian, he delivered us from the consequence and the power and the precision and the seduction and the destruction that we get from the world. When we believe, we become children of God. Then children of God will overcome the world. Why? Because our passage of scripture said this today. Who are those that will overcome the world? It's those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to bring it to completion at the day of the Lord. So today, family, whatever we're hearing, whatever we're experiencing, whatever is happening out there, I implore you today, fix your eyes upon Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Well, let me tell you something. How do we overcome the world? How do we have the victory? The victory is through faith. Faith and trust in our Lord. In Christ, family, no weapon formed against us will prosper. All who rise against us will fall. If God is for us, who can be against us? So trust in the Lord today. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.